And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Today, let us make them remember.
Silver Circle Movie Day here at Pollock Theaters in Tempe. Yeah, we just heard Megan on the Clear Channel station, a good friend of mine, morning show there, and had her in studio. I guess he must have saw her picture. He's like, you come on in. So we're going to go ahead and talk to her top of the hour and the next hour and see how that went. And it looks like they showed some love on her and made sure she got listed in their event thing and blog and all that. Man, just, you know, we communicating back and forth. And, you know, they're, you know, in the Fed, a movie about ending the Fed, young people, attractive young people. Informed, attractive young people talking about end the Fed. Where the heck did that come from? You know, and this is one thing that I want to make sure that everybody understands is that we're in a whole new era. There, you know, we got. I give you so many examples, and here it's a lot of times there. I give you an example. 420 is, you know, marijuana day, you know, but you all got to be reminded, you know, drugs are bad, you know, but smoke marijuana is not as bad. And what they're doing is they're having all kinds of different concerts and things and so on they want us to participate in. So we're going to probably show our faces at some various functions. And then at the same time, the same day, it's a anti-war day. Because we have Cindy Sheehan's coming by, we're going to have a party that night. So I'm trying to hook up, you know, a couple of gigs she might speak at, you know, and say, oh, and while you're doing some bad, you know, you need to know that war is bad, okay? And I think you have that kind of crowd, a lot of young people. Then you have the In the Fed thing that's going on tonight. You're involved in that. And in all of this, what are we starting to see? The Arizona Republican Party, Republican candidates and Republicans, you know, all of a sudden say, you know what, we're not going to say you're Republican anymore, okay? You know, maybe you're Republican. And this is, and that was kind of the, you know, the sign behind Ron Paul, you know, when he was speaking in Tampa. I remember they had the, you know, Republican, and I'm like, oh, please, you know, but... there is a lot of movement, and it. But you know, I'll tell you, you know, well, I keep saying, it's a cultural thing. So, what do you want to, you know, share with the, you know, Clear Channel, you know, sort of Rush Limbaugh, Sean Hannity station, you know, these guys, you know, what are they? And fortunately, the morning show guy, it's not very secret. I mean, he's a libertarian. You know, he says he's a libertarian. He didn't, you know, beat him over the head with it too much. Whenever it comes out, he's libertarian. Oh, my goodness, I'm voting for Ernie for Congress. You know, they don't like that one, you know, and stuff like that. So I've known Jim for a long time, and he has been very successful at bringing a lot of people around to even look. And it was very nice of him to have Megan on, come on in studio. But it's something that he's understood from, you know, he is a different generation. He's a little younger than me, I think. He's probably still in his 40s. But I'll tell you this. A lot of times, these guys, they don't see it unless you can predict it, and then it happened. I'll give you an example. If I go up to these guys, you know, guys in the media, I meet, you know, famous cartoonists, you know, for different newspapers, reporters, editors, all this, you know, over a period of 20 whatever years, you know, they just kind of, they come into the job and are told about, you know, who we are and what we do and so on, because we're in the news. What, who's this? You know, what are they doing? And we'll go in editorial boards and we'll kind of, you know, in fact, Vince Cernowitz is one of the editors at the Las Vegas Review-Journal. As a newspaper editor in a smaller newspaper here in the West Valley, he met his first libertarian at an editorial board. It was Rick Tompkins that became our state chair in the 90s, ran against Brown for the nomination in 96, you know, went off retired. He's in one of the Carolinas now. And just by meeting him, and them damn libertarians got an answer for everything, you know, and by being exposed to that philosophy, he went from Democrat to hard freaking core narco-capitalist kind of guy, you know? I mean, I wouldn't say Ben Cernowitz is the purest individual, certainly when it comes to him, you know, when he's, you know, depends, I, you know, I want to say, but Ben and I are good friends, and I'll tell you, he has a regular column in Las Vegas that just kicks butt. If it wasn't for him, the rag wouldn't be worth reading. And what's happened, though, is that he had a column called The Libertarian, and it was published in one of the main newspapers here in Arizona, and they canceled him after one of his articles. In the 90s, there was G. Gordon Liddy had his own show out of Washington, I guess, or something. He was on, a lot of people, you know, G. Gordon Liddy was a prominent figure in Watergate, and he was, you know, Nixon administration and, you know, kind of a, you know, army, you know, I'm the guy, get the mission done kind of, yeah, you know, kind of finish. So he kind of had his own following and so on, and is certainly his own perspective. And he has a son, one of his sons, lives here in Arizona, Phoenix. In fact, he was a big party guy and a county chairman and all that. And so, and I interviewed him and had his dad, G. Gordon Liddy, had him in the studio. My morning show, that Scottsdale, you know, he was broadcast on the same station in the afternoon. He came in one time, we sat in studio and, you know, shot it and, you know, what's up? And I'm telling you, you know, these guys represent a totally different mindset. America, exceptionalism, kind of. And, you know, starting off in radio as a libertarian on a major media market, everybody's like, how the hell did that happen? Well, what I learned being in the media and so on was that they're afraid of libertarian philosophy. And the more they understand it, the more they're afraid of it. And it's why they get so angry and so, what's the word, vociferous? I mean, it's just so animated about their contempt, you would think. When you talk to them privately, you know, it's pretty much the same. And it's fear, because they understand the power and the allure of this leave-me-aloneism thing to the young. I'll tell you where they get it the most. It's from their children. So when you have these guys, some people are more susceptible to the change than others. But, decades and decades, I've seen how these guys convert. Oh, what did I see yesterday? I'm looking up John Stossel having Glenn Beck on, with Glenn Beck going, well, I don't see why you would, you know, be so against, you know, someone that's, you know, kind of leaning libertarian, coming over libertarian, be able to say he's kind of sort of almost wish he knows how to spell libertarian, you know, and you guys all jump all over my crap. And why would you? And then John goes, yeah, well, what do you think about this? What do you think about that? And what do you think about, well, you know, maybe a little, I'm coming around, you know, but I'm not quite there on that. And I'm, you know, so they think libertarian is, you know, being on the path toward or facing the light of libertarian makes you libertarian. Being libertarian is, I mean, in my description, being libertarian is not kind of a leaning thing. Either you know, non-aggression principle. I mean, the first thing that I would, you know, do you own yourself? Okay. I put my hand on your shoulder. I go, whose life is this? Oh, it's mine. Okay. Welcome to libertarianism. I mean, you know, because if you don't own yourself, who does? Well, that means that I get to do it. Well, maybe you need a little regulation. Aha! Aha! Are you really? Well, when the old guard are introduced to the new guard that understands all this, they get scared because they see the allure, the threat, because the neocons and the government supporters promise a lot of things, but they never really deliver. And the young know it. Here it comes.
Hi, I'm Derek J. To me, an activist's calling is to actively work to advance a cause. The cause for which I work is personal freedom. I believe my life is best when I engage in voluntary interactions and self-government. I reject the idea that anyone else has a higher claim to my life or my body than I do. I see people who call themselves the government as a threat to my personal freedom. I realize you may feel differently, but my relationship with the people who call themselves the government is completely involuntary. If Starbucks used some of its money to drop bombs, I wouldn't shop there. So why would I support the American Empire? The Empire does not require my consent.
Derek J's Victimless Crime Spree. Watch it for free and order the Director's Cut DVD at victimlesscrimespree.com. That's victimlesscrimespree.com.
Rhodes, it's the Ernest Hancock Show. Where we're going, there aren't any roads.
At least, you know, in the future, we're going somewhere. there's somewhere to go. Are we going to be able to even go anywhere? Are we? I hope so. You know, I'm planning on it. You know, this is, you look into the eyes of your grandchildren and you just can't imagine that they're not going to be able to express their fullness, you know, and that's kind of my job. I want to make sure that that happens. And so I'm working on it. You look on the front page of Freedom's Phoenix, Freedom's with an S, Phoenix, Phoenix, .com, freedomsphoenix.com, man, you'll say, oh, Freedom's Phoenix e-zine, E-Z-I-N-E, Freedom's Phoenix e-zine.com. Go check out the editions that we have there. Freedom's Phoenix e-zine. Now, you got to subscribe, you know, to be able to access the files, but you can see the cover. And you can see all the authors, and you can see the titles of the story and the summary of what they're talking about, and you go, damn it, I need to subscribe. Now, one way you can do it is just an ounce of silver a year. Ounce of silver a year, that's it. That's all I care. Ounce of silver. Gimme. Now, you can also use bitcoins, you know, and I'm like, you know, we do get some bitcoins and stuff like, you know, and I'm, you know, the few that I have, and so I'm like, damn, you know, they're worth some money. And they go, Bitcoin bust, it went down. Oh my gosh, it's only $150 or whatever it is now. And I'm like, only $150? It peaked at 270 something or whatever. And I'm like, let me think, is that a bubble? I've got, you know, wow. And, you know, the one thing is you look at it and, you know, is it a bubble? Not, I don't know. I mean, the guys that started this to have, you got a bunch of Bitcoins, you're a gazillionaire now. I mean, literally, you could be a billionaire. I mean, this is, well, I doubt billionaire. I think there's only so many, about billion in circulation. I don't know, maybe so. You know, they start hitting up there, you could be. But the thing is that what gives it its value? What is it we have in a new era? Does it really have any intrinsic value? Does it? Anonymity. I mean, if you can be, I can just go on Silk Road and BitTorrent me some drugs on the internet and have them delivered and I got it and using Bitcoin, I guess you're pretty, that's pretty anonymous to me. But to think you're really that anonymous, I mean, come on. You know, are you using Department of Defense internet? What do you think's going to happen? And that's one of the things that I'm concerned with. I tell you, the more anonymous thing is, I got silver, I give, I exchange, I barter, I take, I'm good. You know, that's pretty damn anonymous. So I really think that there's something going on with this cryptocurrency thing. And if you don't think they already got a plan for and doing around and gotten, it's all ours too. I just feel it. So I'm an old guy. I'm, you know, old fogey. You know, I'm going to kind of stick to this silver thing. Now, of course, you know, you got Silver Circle Movie and you got the young guys going into silver. And we got the Silver Calculator app on Android. And, you know, I think Roberts, Tim Fry, you know, they got a silver calculator for iPhone. I think he had one developed just for the iPhone. So you can go check that out. Roberts, just Google Roberts. silver brokerage or silver and gold, and it'll pop up all over the place, and go check out, they have the iPhone app. So Tim and I, we both, you know, we're on the same wavelength on this thing. We can see where this is going. Yeah, you know, Bitcoin's cool, and I'm glad, and might be some crypto whatever currency thing. And I like the idea that it's open source. And the next one that comes up, and there are others, you know, when they come up and they say, oh, this is government approved. I mean, you know, I'm feeling all warm fuzzy about that one. So I can see it's every transaction, you know, involves the money of somebody. And to me, I'd like it to be maybe the somebody, and it just be precious metal, or barter, or chicken eggs, or whatever, and I determine the value, and the person I'm dealing with, they determine the value, and we got value, and we both come out ahead, and it's all good. Oh, no. The king wants to be in charge of what is legal tender. What is the medium of exchange? I mean, once you give them that power, man, you're screwed. That, you know, boom, done. So, Silver Circle movie, you know, it gives, the entire film is about that very thing. So I'm okay. So I'm interested in this. You know, Bitcoin, I tell you what, very interesting about it is going to be the movie. You know, they did, you know, Social Network, you know, Facebook, the movie. We need to get Bitcoin, the movie. And that's another thing, Facebook. Excuse me a second. Facebook, on the cover, here, let me show you this. We did this last month's cover, at kind of, you know, we kind of, you know, threw Zuckerberg under the bus a little bit, but there was a reason. You look at this, and you can see that right in the middle of the evil, that is the bad being pushed aside by the future of the next generation Freedom's Phoenix guys, is in the... another brick in the wall, you know, stone. There's a lot of images in here. We got Big Brother here. We got a submarine, you know, shooting a Polaris missile. We got the police state. We got, you know, TSA groping, checkpoints, vaccines, hypodermics here, Tiananmen tank guy. We got, you know, Obey from They Live, and, you know, armored personnel carriers and TSA gropings and all this kind of stuff. But right in the middle, what do we got? We got Facebook. We had Zuckerberg as Big Brother. Now, the reason that I did this is, you know, not just a pick on him, but what he represents. And I'll tell you, they're doing the Facebook phone now. And if you didn't think you were being tracked before, man, you know, you get a Facebook phone, you deserve what you get. Because I know it's all about data collection. And I want to talk to you about that. We're going to be talking more as we get closer to it. I talked to Megan Duffield yesterday. She has a lot of contacts, and she's the kind of person that, you know, we would need. You know, someone that's very well versed in the social networking thing. You know, she does really well. I mean, she got some friends that knows how and wants to get paid and do it. I'm still searching for the right people to do this thing. And but there's one thing that I'm very interested in. When we use a lot of different, they call it CRM, customer relation management systems, and we have done everything and designed everything with original code, PHP, Tigers all over it, and Michael and some of the guys, we're just, you know, we done everything original. Because keep in mind, when we started Freedom's Phoenix, and I was showing Megan a lot of the stuff a lot of people don't know. We haven't been pushing it yet. That's why I need social networking person to show all the features and benefits and everything that Freedom's Phoenix does as an activist for 7 years. Hundreds of thousands of dollars has gone in to the development of Freedom's Phoenix. Lots. And I tell you, you know, we're ready for prime time. But we have not been connected into any outside source. The only one that you see that we just did is Next News Network, where we're being broadcast, and we have that simulcast on the top of Freedom's Phoenix. When you go and you log in there, it's playing, and you can put stop broadcast. And I did that because a lot of people said, hey, man, I got satellite uplink, and I'm paying for the streaming of this. It's kind of, wow, damn, give me an off button. So we put an off button up there, and then, of course, the sound's down. You turn the sound up. So this is the only thing that feeds in, and then out we post, you know, Facebook and Twitter and so on, our stuff. But in the new, we'll talk about it after the break. You guys stay right there. I'm going to let you know, things I'm thinking about. And am I making myself too vulnerable? You know, am I being too paranoid? You know, am I embracing the future? We'll see.
Uncovering the secrets and exposing the lies. That's what the readers of FreedomsPhoenix.com get every day. FreedomsPhoenix.com constantly providing the information, the real news about government policies, and the real relationship we all have with the coercive government. The real condition of the economy, innovations in technology, breakthroughs in energy, health, and computer science. Learn the truth well before it's admitted to in the lamestream media. The corporate media, nothing more than distributors of government propaganda. But now there's an alternative. FreedomsPhoenix.com. Constant news updates on the issues that affect your life in the most important ways. With liberty and property under constant attack, FreedomsPhoenix.com provides the understanding behind the propaganda, and it encourages the participation of its readers. Go to FreedomsPhoenix.com. That's Freedoms with an S, Phoenix.com. FreedomsPhoenix.com. The revolution between the ears has already happened.
You're listening to the best liberty-oriented audio streamed around the clock, on the air, and online. This is the Liberty Radio Network at LRN.FM.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock. To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800.
Welcome back to Declare Your Independence. I want to talk to you about what we have planned. We're working on a new project. We're getting things ready to start construction of We're Not Going to Die-ism. And I really am emphasizing that this new direction that it's not really new. It's a re-emphasizing, doubling down on the love thing. I'm telling you, you know, what do you do? If you know what's coming, if you feel down your bones, oh, it's not going to be good. You know, all this bubbling. Oh, what happens? The Fed comes out. Well, I think we're going to keep interest rates low. We're going to give access to money at, you know, like none percent to the big bank. Or you can't, you know, you can't. Oh, we had Stockton. All right. Oh, man, there's so many things. All right, let me go one at a time. One, the Fed's going to continue low interest rates. So what happens? Stock market goes into the stratosphere. It's at the top, the highest it's ever been. You know, someone just learned, I can't remember who I was talking to. They go, Ernie, did you know how many companies make up the Dow? You know, the Dow, this number they keep throwing out. Oh, the Dow, you know how many companies? I go, yeah, 30. There's the S&P 500. There's the NASDAQ, I don't know, 1,000 or a gazillion, whatever it is. And you go, you know, the Dow, 30. And I go, yeah, what's even better is it keeps changing. It you know, whatever makes it look better. You know, the index goes, you know, this is a dog company. They're kind of getting, you know, we don't need you anymore. We're going to add this another one. I go, it's just a game. It's just a number. It's just a dial. It means nothing. I'm just so, whoa. So this is, but it's the number that you see. It's like seeing gas prices. What's the one number that we have that really has an impact on everything? You know, I don't know. You know, it's bread, eggs, milk, gas. And which one of those is not subsidized? You see my point? It's all a game. You know, the dairy farmer, de la whatever. You know, somebody gets this. You can't have that. You're going to, you know, and you compete with the system. All of a sudden, man, you're going to jail because you're bad. You know, so this is, and there's so many controls. So we had the big thing, Jim Bovard sent me an email. He goes, Ernie, you got to post this. And he's had a couple of articles in, you know, major newspapers. He writes a lot of stuff. And he goes, he's an author, does, you know, Lost Rights. And, you know, there's a whole bunch of books, you know, Democracy, Attention Deficit Democracy, and, you know, Betrayal of Bush, and I mean, all these different, you know, political books. And I remember his first book that I became aware of in the early 90s called Lost Rights. And whenever we would have a progressive, you know, or we were at Air America, Charles and I, and we needed, you know, all right, fine. You know, you want to know what you want from your, here, read this. And they come back just so mad, you know, come bad. Yes, you get it? You know, they just use all these different powers and these agencies to, you know, help their buddies and eliminate competition and keep doing what. Another story on Freedom's Phoenix, what we have? You know, companies, raw story, of course, demanding that the United States pass laws, you know, to protect against climate change and all this other stuff. Now, companies, corporations are demanding. Now, I guarantee there's some benefit now to them as individuals or personally to their companies. They might be environmental supplying individuals of, you know. So I don't trust the government. I have no reason to. They haven't given me any. I don't know why I should. Seriously. Well, you know, a lot of people, they have it in their head. It's a patriot nationalism kind of thing. You know, salute flag America pledge thing. You know, it's our team versus their team thing. Red, white, and blue versus whatever color. It's a color thing. You know, so here we have Stockton, David Stockton, that used to be in the Reagan administration. And I remember it was, he's a comptroller, I think, whatever it means. Anyway, it was like 2005, 6, 7, around in there. I was producing for Charles, and he came out with, you know, look, man, we're in the debt spiral of the sovereign debt and debt. And this is what's going to happen. Why? And he wrote a book, and he came out on it. Well, he just wrote another book. This is a big, giant, thick, you know, Atlas Shrugged thing. And, you know, factual, of course. And he was being interviewed by Jon Stewart a couple days ago from The Daily Show. And he gets up there, and I'm just, one, amazed that they even had him on to even discuss these things. Now, of course, Jon Stewart's going to try, yeah, but don't you think in government and kind of and sort of and whatever, you know, and Stockton's like, no. Now, no. And I'm kind of surprised that, one, they had him on, and two, that John's still clinging to this government thing. Does he really, or is that just to stay on and get his NBC night show gig or something? I mean, you know, he's always looking to move over to CBS. De La wants to be on the network and nightly news, and kind of we'll see what happens. And I'm just kind of, why would you want to do that anyway? I mean, that's the death of television is going. It's going to be content. And we'll just get access to content using our internet access television to get the whatever's good content. You know, it's not going to matter. This network thing don't mean nothing anymore. And I'm just, and we saw this a long time ago. So anyway, Stockton's up there saying, look, you know, it's done. All the government stuff that we did, blah, 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 end of times, get ready. And into what times? I mean, was the best of times? It was the worst of times? You know, we're going to go look back at these times. I'm sure the Depression was very bad for a lot of people. Some people that were prepared, some people that were, you know, able to bring family close together and be able to survive it. And I guess back then they didn't have to get a permit to dig a well, you know, and they probably did okay. You're going, there was a Depression? I mean, we didn't get new shoes all the time, but gosh darn it, there was a Depression. We learned to make them. Our own goat skins. So these kind of times are coming. And for the youth, it's exciting. You know, there's, you know, wow, we're going to be top of the heap. And all we have to do is have knowledge and good friends and opportunity. Well, for those that don't have knowledge and those that want to limit opportunity and those that are not have the vigor of youth, you know, they're afraid. They need somebody else to help them do and bring them through kind of thing. In the process of what we're doing, there are different management, data management systems. We've done everything original on Freedom's Phoenix. It's all ours. For us to use email systems that we can track different kind of, you know, the open rates on stuff. And, you know, they have different services that's available for us to be able to, you know, track the open rate of the yada yada in this page. And we got a lot of this stuff built into the system, but there are systems there for me to do that and do our email dispatch and email, you know, then you use them and they get access to your database. And that was one thing, man, I'm just being real. I don't know. You know, talking to these companies, I tell you, who helped me out a lot with this was Gary Franchi from Next News Network. You know, he and I have known each other a long time, and he uses a service. And Chris Duane from Silver Shield, you know, the silver guy, you know, he and I spent a lot of time talking on this. He's helped me out and stuff. I just got to get over my paranoia on attorney. The thing is that if they want my dad, but, you know, I always tell everybody, I mean, I've been very open about this. Don't ever, we do a lot of security stuff, and we make sure and, you know, password this and that and so on. I still get, you know, some friends, you know, yell at me. Well, you got to have Uber certain beta major Uber security against or whatever. And I'm going, I don't want to ever be under the illusion that the big bad guys don't know exactly what's going on for you and Phoenix. I mean, so I'm not stupid, and I don't say stupid stuff and don't be stupid. I mean, a lot of people look at the stuff and go, wow, man, that's pretty ballsy putting that up there. But, you know, heck, I'm all the people that are assigned, the government guy that's assigned to my cell phone or assigned to my site or assigned to what we do, or, you know, he's assigned to listen to the show and everything, they got to change him every 2 weeks because they keep getting converted. So bring him on, bring him on, bring him on, bring him on, bring him on. But what am I looking to do? I just don't want to help him. You know, I'm not there to help them. So we're doing a lot of searching on this and how we can use some of these, you know, customer management systems, you know, that I can go ahead and be comfortable with doing those services, because there's a lot of things that we're going to be doing in the future. And I'll tell you a little bit about it when we come back. But I want to play a little bit of a Stossel here.
We're from the government, and we're going to solve all your problems. You know what your problem is? Sometimes people make the wrong choices, but we're going to help them make the right choices. With guns. Hey, you're not running your business right. You're not paying people enough money. You're not hiring the right people. You keep firing the wrong people. Well, do it different. Do it different now! They got two boys kissing on the TV. We can't have that. We can't have boys kissing boys and girls kissing girls. Stop it! Stop it now! You're not doing religion right. You're worshiping all wrong and believing all wrong and wearing the wrong symbols. Well, fix it! Fix it now, damn it!
Are you interested in peaceful solutions to LGBT issues? Listen to Flaming Freedom on the Liberty Radio Network every Tuesday from 10 p.m. to midnight. Or download any show for free from flamingfreedom.com.
While our satellite channel is free to listen to, it's not free for us. You can help us cover our satellite costs with a chip-in on the right side of the page at lrn.fm.
Freedom is the answer. What's the question?
I want to break free.
You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
I want to break free. I want to break free from your lies. You're so self-satisfied, I don't need you.
You know, what I want to do is I'm just going to play the beginning. You get Glenn Beck doing his mental gymnastics on how he whatever, but I'll go ahead and play this just an intro from Stossel that pretty much covers it. Let's go ahead and give this a listen, because I'm, you know, we'll talk about it here.
And now for something completely different. This year, Glenn Beck said he's a libertarian. Glenn Beck? I want him to be libertarian because he's popular. He's got millions of followers. His success on radio and TV gave me hope. He talked about reading Milton Friedman, Friedrich Hayek. He opposed the GM bailout. But then he supported TARP. Worse, he said $700 billion in stimulus money is not enough. He supported the Patriot Act, warrantless wiretapping, and at the Republican primary, his candidate was the anti-libertarian Rick Santorum. So, Glenn, now you email me and say, I have been moving closer to libertarianism with every day. Well, that's good news. What do you mean?
I've always considered myself a libertarian-leaning Republican. I've just completely given up hope on any kind of Republican that would actually get it. The Republican Party is a waste of time. So I haven't really changed a lot of the things that I've believed in. For instance, you got a few things wrong. I was never for the stimulus. Never for the stimulus.
This quote, $700 billion is not enough?
Must have been in jest, because there's no way. I was never for that.
Okay.
TARP, I was for 2 days. I came out on a Monday and said, I'm for TARP because it's going to give time for people to prepare, because this is going to be really bad. Then I saw them put it together, and I saw what they were going to do, and I saw that they were going to just bleed us dry, and I said, by Wednesday,
yeah,
absolutely
by Wednesday,
not.
Blah, 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 blah. See, you know, it's just, I'm glad Stossel called him out a little bit, and he was kind of semi-nice to him, and by the end of it, you kind of, it's just mental gymnastics. He's all over the place. But abandon the Republican Party? Is he going to run for president as a libertarian or something? See, you never hear them talk about the Libertarian Party. Now, that Libertarian Party, you'll go look at they're I haven't in a while, but I mean, whenever I go look at the Libertarian Party and their page views or how much their site's being accessed or whatever on the rankings and various different things that we use for Freedom's Phoenix, you can put in whatever page and go compare. Freedom's Phoenix gets more hits than the entire national libertarian LP.org. And I'm going, wow, man, that's pretty sad. I mean, not that, you know, Freedom's Phoenix is pretty cool, but I mean, you would think that the third largest national party would get, you know, some traffic, especially when you got, you know, the word out there as part of our daily. I mean, I remember in the 90s, liberal what? You know, liberal, you librarians. I mean, they had no clue. Well, now it's like, and I knew this would happen. You know, everybody and their grandma's going to be, I'm libertarian. What does it mean? I don't know. It's cool, man. It's cool. So I can see where this is going. And I don't even see the Libertarian Party as being representative, a bastion of libertarianism. One of the executive committee members, a guy named Starchild, he's a sex worker out of San Francisco, and nice guy. I really like him. He's a good libertarian guy. And he wrote an article in our magazine a month or two ago, and he said, why I'm not pure libertarian and why the Libertarian Party needs to be. And this has been a conversation that, you know, we've had for a long time. And the point that, you know, whenever I deal with, you know, the National Party and trying to, you know, be an influence there has been, I go, they go, oh, you'd have a purge, you'd have a purge, you'd have a purge. And I'm going, you guys are missing the whole point. What happens with the Republican Party, depending on who the nominee is, you know, it's the platform for Romney, the platform for Bush, the platform for whatever. And the LP started doing the same thing. They needed to change the platform for Bob Barr to come in because, man, Bob Barr and the platform, they weren't even in the same category. So what happens is they think by changing the platform, then it kind of represents the nominee or something. What? It's just stupid thinking. And I'm going, there's no purging of what? I don't care. Anybody can say whatever. There's no purging of Glenn Beck's angels. There's no purging. You know, it doesn't matter. As long as the Libertarian Party, the principles are defined in the platform. It's very simple. Our mission statement says, you know, we, the members of the Libertarian Party, you know, fight for the rights of the individual and oppose the cult of the omnipotent state. I'm hip to that. Cool. Then does it represent that? You own yourself kind of thing. Well, what happened was there are a lot of people that they wanted to be at the mahogany table, get to the invited to Washington Christmas parties or whatever, and they wanted to, you know, not be seem too extreme to their mothers-in-laws, and instead of having a very clear platform, which it was up until the summer of 2006 in Oregon, where they stripped the platform. When they did that, I'm like, you guys don't get it. I was running for national chair. I said, I was supporting the platform that had been crafted over decades by activists. And I'm going, and they did this kind of off-year thing and a lot of proxies and had people come in. They played, you know, Robert's rules of, you know, point of order crap to be able to get done what they wanted and planned for. And I go, I see what you're doing. And if you guys do this, you're going to open it up for any and everybody to be more libertarian than you. Within months, here came Ron Paul. And I'm like, you know, what did you think was going to happen? How did you think this is going to turn out? What was your thought process? I don't understand. So they're in the mindset of, well, we just need to be more reasonable or whatever. I don't know what the heck they were thinking. And it's usually a money thing. They thought they, you know, spark something. They'd come in, you know, get the Levolution thing that I knew I was telling them was coming. And then it goes to 08, 2 years later. We're in Denver. You know, and they're just thinking, oh, well, the Levolutionaries, they'll just come over and it'll be the Bob Barr Revolution. Levolution. I'm like, wow, man, you guys are so far removed from reality. You have no idea what's going on. So Libertarian Party is not going to, any party is not the answer. That's not where it's going to go. Libertarian philosophy, I'm all over that. And the thing is as everybody's talking about how libertarian they're going to be and so on, they don't even mention the LP. Why? Well, I'll tell you one thing. Anybody says they even mention the word libertarian and the National Party jumps on them like freaking flies on crap, man. I mean, it is amazing. And they just, you know, puke all over them, slurp it all up, get as much as they can out of them. And, you know, it's just, well, that's probably a bad you know, word picture. But the point is, you get the point, man. I mean, you know, Lord forbid you had Penn Jillette, you know, a Penn and Teller come out and say the word libertarian. I mean, there were votes to do this and go after and having the, you know, embassy ambassadors of and go and we're going to beat the, and they make any kind of effort towards they even know the LP's name, and man, they are all over you. And they're like, whoa, keep those guys away. Heck no. Then you have an opportunity for someone to define the term, regardless of what party they're running for, like what Dr. Paul did, and you got a movement. And they weren't in a position to take advantage of it. They didn't understand it. 2010, I'm running for national chair again. I did it four times. And I go, you know, I wanted to make it very clear the opportunity they're missing, who's running, I'm running against. Wayne Allen Root. Seriously. The conscience of a libertarian. Remember Judge Buttrick, he gave a presentation at the Freedom Summit, and he holds up his book, and he goes, Wayne's book here, I read this book, so you don't have to. And he went on to explain, you know, seriously. So I've been in the middle of this battle and fight and can see where the real battle lines are. There are those that have chosen to espouse a philosophy and try to keep the definition pure. And there are those that want to use the name to further a financial interest or something like that. But there are differences. Let me tell you what the difference is in our whole social structure. Communication. It's the internet. When that happened, and that's what Starchild was making the point. He goes, look, I'm not going to be a perfect libertarian. All this, I'm not perfect. I mean, he's probably better than most, but, you know, he goes, I'm not going to be a perfect libertarian, but the principles, the platform, the party should be. We should strive to make it perfect. This is what libertarianism is. This is the standard by which you compare everyone. So when you get a John Stossel interviewing Beck and you want to, you know, evaluate Beck or Stossel, you can compare it to, well, okay, what is the philosophy? How is it defined? How is it used? How is it, you know, an example? Give me examples. Explain it to me. That's what the platform was. Great job. I was part of the crafting of that over the years. Judd Buttrick used to be the chairman of the platform committee for the National Party in the 90s. I mean, we worked very hard on that to be a beacon. And then the LP abandoned it. So they got abandoned and they wondered why. It's important to maintain the definition so we know what we're fighting for. And to me, I just call it something else. Leave me alone-ism. It's really that simple. We'll be right back with Megan Duffield again.
Free Press Publications is an independent alternative media and publishing company founded in June 2009 with the mission of ensuring a free press for the freedom movement, and is committed to spreading the message of peace, freedom, love, and liberty. FPP also gives new authors an avenue for publishing freedom-oriented material. FPP brings you daily news and commentary on the website fpp.cc, as well as weekly news in the FPP Freedom Minute at radio.fpp.cc, and the monthly newspaper FPP News at news.fpp.cc. Find FPP online at fpp.cc. That's fpp.cc, as in Creative Commons.
The three most important things you can do for LRN.FM are, 1, let your friends know you're listening to LRN.FM on your social networking profile. 2, buy the things you buy online through shop.lrn.fm. 3, give $5 a month to the AMP program at amp.lrn.fm. You likely buy all kinds of things online. Amazon is the largest online retailer. You can get what you need at the same great prices, and LRN gets a cut. Please do your online shopping at shop.lrn.fm.
Are you tired of governments murdering people around the world? Stop using their money. There is an alternative. Bitcoin is a stateless, free market, non-political currency. Bitcoin cannot be inflated or controlled by any government. By using their money, you are helping the state. Stop doing it. You have an incredible alternative available now. Learn it. Use it. spread it. Get started with Bitcoin at weusecoins.com. That's weusecoins.com.
More Declare Your Independence is coming up next, live, after the news, here on the Liberty Radio Network, LRN.FM.
This is Peace News Now. A topless female protester from the group Femin confronted a bemused Vladimir Putin and disgruntled Angela Merkel while in Hanover, Germany. Putin admitted that he, quote, liked it. The protest was apparently regarding Russia's recent homophobic legislation banning all homosexual propaganda, including rainbow flags and dressing in drag. The Maryland Senate overwhelmingly passed a medical marijuana bill on Monday in a vote 42 in favor to 4 opposed. Governor Martin O'Malley is expected to sign the bill, which would create a, quote, state commission to oversee medical marijuana programs at academic medical research centers that decide to participate. A National Pew Research Center poll released on April 4th shows that the majority of Americans support full legalization for cannabis, 52% to 45%. In technology news, a bladeless wind turbine has been unveiled in the Netherlands. Laura Hopperton reports for Eureka Magazine. The device can transform wind energy into electricity without the use of moving mechanical parts. A working prototype is currently on display outside Delft University of Technology in the Netherlands. Its developers claim the device offers zero emissions and noise pollution and costs significantly less to maintain than conventional wind turbines. In addition, it can be installed on land or sea or integrated onto the roof of a tall building. And in other news, Arizona is going gold. Currently, the federal government mints gold and silver coins. Now, a bill in Arizona, which has strong support, would authorize the use of those gold and silver coins to be used as a medium of exchange. Miles Lester with Arizona Constitutional Advocates said, quote, "We've got one in Utah, and we may be able to get one here in our state, but that's really what we need is 50, one for every state, to prepare for what's coming with the American dollar. It's easy to see where this is heading, and we need to start getting ready now, before it hits." Among the primary points emphasized by proponents was the fact that the Fed has set up an inherently flawed system where virtually all currency is loaned out with impossible to pay interest attached. Other experts pointed to the U.S. Constitution's requirement that no state can use anything but gold and silver as legal tender, a concept the Founding Fathers emphasized repeatedly. Governor Brewer has not indicated whether she will sign the bill or veto it. If the measure becomes law, gold and silver will become legal tender in Arizona next year. If you're following the story of the Hacken family, who had their two young boys taken from them because of a pot possession charge, Peace News Now is happy to report that the family took their boat from Florida and have now arrived safely in Cuba. I hope they can be safe there, or if not, that they keep running until they are safe. Clearly, these people deserve the Parents of the Year Award for risking everything to be together as a family and take personal responsibility for their children. The popular dating website OkCupid now accepts Bitcoin. Right now, users can pay for an upgraded membership using Bitcoins by emailing the admins and coordinating payment that way. Soon, however, the new site will integrate Bitcoins fully, sending another wave of new Bitcoin users into the market. And a recent press release at TheHill.com reads, quote, "A top Obama administration official who has helped implement the president's healthcare reform law is joining a lobby firm. Yvette Fontenot will join Avenue Solutions as a partner. The firm is a boutique Democratic lobby shop with the specialty in healthcare, representing some of the country's biggest insurers and healthcare providers. You might think that all parties to this corruption would blush at such an obvious conflict of interest, but no, they blog about it at TheHill.com. And if you're a glutton for punishment, read the full quote, link in the show notes. Are you tired of the U.S. government killing people around the world? Are you tired of having to pay for their murderous rampage? Stop using their money. There is an alternative. Bitcoin is a stateless, free market, non-political currency. Bitcoin is money that cannot be inflated or controlled by any government. Bitcoin takes the power of money from government and returns it properly to the people. By continuing to use the dollar, you are helping the government. Stop doing it. You have an incredible alternative available now. Learn it, use it, spread credit. Get started with Bitcoin at weusecoins.com. That's weusecoins.com. This has been Peace News Now, your daily update on the peaceful evolution. For links and videos, subscribe to PNN at youtube.com/peacenewsnow. For peacenewsnow.com, I'm Derek J., reminding you that good people disobey bad laws.
Live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here!
Today's the day! Silver Circle Movie tonight in Tempe. Go to silvercirclemovie.com. Get all the details. We're going to be there. And if you're not there, you'll be square. I mean, that's just how it is. So make sure you plant tonight. It's just a social thing. Be chilling and whatnot. It's good. 7 o'clock tonight in Tempe. Pollock Theater. Now, this is going to be, you know, Megan, you know, came into town, you know, day before yesterday, and she's, you know, meeting with a lot of the students, talking to different various organizations and groups. She's been doing some media and so on. She's checking in with us real quick here. You know, Megan, tell me, how's your tripping going?
It's great. The benefit is all this radio stuff happens so early in the morning, but I'm on East Coast time, so it's not phasing me at all, getting up at 4 a.m.
Yeah, you did the morning show over at the Clear Channel thing. Yeah, what'd you think of Jim Sharp?
He was great. It was kind of funny. I don't know if he'll get mad at me for saying it, but he was like, you know, I'm a libertarian with a little L. He goes, I don't know if I've ever admitted it on my show here. That's what he said.
Well, he is, I tell you the story of where we met. I was, that's a long story, but the bottom line was I was on his show that he had there at that station in the evening. And it was a privacy issue and voter database thing and the legislature being stupid. And I'm going back and forth with some state legislator. And he always called himself, I'm a constitutionalist. Well, you know, after a while, you're on someone's show and you're going back and forth. And you start to, you hear the buzzwords, you know, yeah, I know what books he's been reading. I know it. All of a sudden, I'm at my restaurant. Our family had a restaurant. It was a next day or two later. I get a call, and it's Jim. And he goes, hey, Ernie, it's Jim. And I go, you the man. He goes, what? And I go, you think I don't know a libertarian? Are you serious? Obviously, you're a libertarian. What may I do for you, my brother? And he goes, well, I was hoping that I could get right up with you to your state convention, the Libertarian Party. So this is in the 90s. And then he wanted to get a morning show gig. And he goes, God, man, I'd really like to get that. They're looking for a new morning show. So what we did, me and some of my libertarian friends, it was a campaign of 2000, I think. And we put signs all over the valley, vote Jim Sharp, okay? Vote freedom Jim Sharp, something like that. And then we called all the media, all the television and newspapers, and we say, he should be fired. He's running for, he shouldn't be able to have signs. He should be fired. Let's fire Jim Sharp. I can't believe it. And then the media started picking up on it, and everybody was calling in and talk radio. What the heck is Jim Sharp running for? And it was all, he goes, man, I don't know nothing. And he got the morning gig. And then the producer that went on to do WAE Beatles C in New York, she called me and she goes, did you have anything to do with that? I go, not as far as you know. So that's how we have an impact on the culture, is that we can make you look at least once, maybe twice.
You're good at that, Ernie.
Yes, I am.
You're really good at that.
And that's one thing, and we build friends and relationships and so on, and he's not perfect, but I really consider him a good friend, and I knew he'd hook you up. So I was interested that he would bring you in studio, make you drive up there at the wee hours of, you know. How'd that happen?
Well, whenever they mentioned that they had the time slot at 5:30 open, I just mentioned, do you want it to be in studio or over the phone? And they said, well, do you want to come in? And I'm like, well, I mean, I'm going to be awake because my brain's going to have me awake by then anyway. So I just went on up this morning, and they usually typically don't have guests in prior to 6 o'clock, so they definitely have the space open.
Well, that's good. I'm glad you guys got to, you know, go down to their new digs and so on. And, you know, they're going concern. I mean, they're the big Clear Channel major whatever. And to get Jim behind you on this is very nice. And hopefully, I know they archived the audio. Did they do any video?
No.
All right, so we'll get the show up. We'll have that up. Donna, go ahead and check KFI right now, and go ahead and check and see if she can get that audio up, and we'll put you up on the site. So this is by the time you got done, I heard most of it. I was getting ready for the show and everything. I was listening to you guys, certainly mostly the second segment. But it seemed like he was he's getting it. He understands. He's like, all right, he's an anti-Fed guy.
Yeah, oh, totally. I mean, he sounded like he was on board with the message, and he was very intrigued by the subject matter of Silver Circle.
This is the one thing that I try to emphasize with him, you know, talking to him yesterday, is I'm just going, look, man, you guys got to understand, I've been following these guys for 3 years, and I go, they're the future. There's going to be sequels and copycats, and it's a movement. You know, it's all around this leave me aloneism thing, and here we go. And I don't know what, because he's one of the guys that is, he's not as susceptible as most, but he's one of the guys that's getting what? The 3x5 morning card with the bullet point of you're talking about, and the Fed did, and look how high the stock market is because the Fed's going to keep interest rates at nothing more again, and kind of we're all saved. And he knows better.
Right.
So
right. He does.
Well, I'm are you seeing any kind of feedback from your being in Phoenix? Tell me about talking with the students at ASU. How's that working out?
It's going really good. The Students for Liberty group seems to be very receptive. And although the president of their group's actually out of the country at the time, he's highly encouraging everyone to attend. And hopefully we'll see a good chunk of students make their way in the door tonight.
Yeah, they're pretty close there. That's, you know, good that you picked Tempe. That makes it to where they don't have to, you know, trek across the valley, which you did all the way up here yesterday. Thank you for doing that. That was, you know, we're like in the Northwest Valley. So, you know, but
it was kind of fun. It was fun to see the Hancock household. I especially loved meeting your dogs.
Yeah, you had a little toy poodle named Harvey, too, or something. I remember you saying something like that.
I know. It's so weird, all the connections that were going on over there.
Furry doorbells. That's what they are. You know, they keep track of, you know, I know which window the bad guy's coming in. So, you got to see we got a nice little farm thing going on here. Huh? Huh?
I can totally dig it. I know if I ever get stuck in the Southwest, you know exactly who's going to be knocking on your door.
Hey, be my guest. You know, be my guest. This is, kind of where we're going is we want to be an example. It's a good, not everybody has the kind of yard that we got and so on, but it allows us to experiment. And I'm always looking for the solution. Instead of trying to take advantage of the fear of all the stuff that's coming, you know, it's just an opportunity. And for young people, it's really exciting, I would think, because they're like, hey, man, you know, if it wasn't for all the student debt that they got and the credit cards and 15 gazillion, you know, line dings on their credit and all that other stuff, you know, they'd probably be better off. But I'll bet you a lot of your friends in your age bracket, are they saddled with a lot of debt?
Oh, yeah. Present company included. You know, I didn't learn about a lot of this student debt bubble and things like that until halfway through my college career. So, unfortunately, there's quite a few of us who, I could perhaps be a property owner right now if it wasn't for my student debt.
You know, that's another thing. The property, I'm glad that, you know, our kids, you know, my wife being real estate here and so on, they got really good deals on their homes. You know, they bought it at nothing. I mean, it's probably worth twice whatever they paid for it, but I think it's going to take another hit. But I just real uncomfortable about encouraging the next generation be buying property. I mean, you know, when you say, I'd be a property owner, I'm like, are you really? Or are you just leasing it from the government, you know? You think you own it?
Right.
Stop, stop paying property taxes and tell me how much you own it. Hey, can you do another segment?
Sure, love to.
Yeah, we'll go ahead and do another segment with Megan Duffield. You know, today is the premiere here in Arizona of Silver Circle Movie. We're going tonight for a party. Hopefully you'll go and have some fun with us and meet everybody.
To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800. 602-264-2800. And now, Ernest Hancock.
Welcome back to Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, here at Phoenix, Arizona, hey, from the BEAUD Full Studios of Freedoms of the Nest, freedomsphoenix.com. Well, we have Megan Duffield on, another segment we're going to do with her, and then let her get back to business. You know, and we have, Mike Salvi coming on in the third hour. He's one of the new shows on Next News Network that they're pulling out of Philadelphia. I met Mike in Philadelphia when I was doing Fed Stock and stuff with James Babb and such. And, good addition, I think. I think, Megan, you've met Mike Salvi, haven't you?
Oh, yeah. He was. He has been a supporter of Silver Circle, and I met him at the In the Fed March whenever Ron Paul came to Philly. I met him before that, but that's whenever I really got to spend some time with him. Great guy.
You know, there's a lot of people. That's one thing that, there's not a lot of people like you and I that have actually, as part of what we do, been able to travel and meet a lot of these people. And some of the people that kind of stick out as points of light across the country as advocating kind of the philosophy that you espouse?
Well, I would say one of my favorite people, I mean, he lives somewhat close to me, but I know he travels to a lot of events, is Ron Paul's freaking giant, Chris Lawless from the Free State Project.
He
is an excellent friend and someone who knows just about everybody. And he's kind of a behind-the-scenes kind of guy. You don't see him a lot on the front lines in terms of activism, but he's the one that's, like, making everything work behind the scenes. So,
well, you know, his main thing is he's, if you move to New Hampshire, he'll help you move in. He's like, you come up here and we're unloading truck. I mean, we'll make it happen. And he's always, he gets a lot of ribbon because when it's Pork Fest time, his hair goes down, such as it is. And he's like, right. Yeah, we'd be partying, And I remember one time, they call him the giant. Well, one, he's very tall. And there was Ron Paul was in New Hampshire or there was some event. And they had Ron standing there. And they always have pictures of people standing behind him. And then you get him cut off at like chest level. Because he's out of frame, but he's so large, everybody's like, who the heck is that? So I remember that. Yeah, Chris is a good guy. Tell me the trips that you make. I mean, what kind of promotions are you doing? You're having to leave and travel around, going to what functions? What's the best use of your time in promotion?
Well, one of the things I aim for, which you helped out a lot with, is getting media attention. So, hopping on radio shows, getting on podcasts, even YouTube channels or, your brother's cousin's sister's blog. I mean, I'll take it. I mean, any media is great media for us. And another goal, too, is meeting with student groups. I found a lot of benefit from that. And, for instance, and we do not stop anywhere. We were in New York, and I spent a couple hours just sitting outside one of the subway stops passing out flyers. So it's all fair game to me.
This is, passion of a few people can have such an enormous impact on the world. And, you'll get a lot of, sayings about, it's a, you can't fight City Hall or you can't do it alone. And of course, the counter to that is, well, heck, that's how it always happens. It's always, Rosa Parks. It's always, Gandhi. It's always, somebody. It's always that one person that stands up for something. And the reason they get noticed is because everyone else is on their knees. I mean, it's like, wow, what is the little trigger that's flipped? Now, it's one thing, someone being a beautiful young woman that's traveling around, what happens is being young, attractive, you get a little bit extra attention. I mean, they come, you know, may I help you, ma'am? I mean, you know, they're being nice to you, me, middle-aged, overweight white boy. You know, I'm invisible. I am like a stealth activist. I can go anywhere and I'm invisible. Nobody knows I'm there until I talk. But, you know, the thing is that the attention that you get going to this, as you're talking to people, where do you think they're at in their life? They're kind of, this libertarian thing is totally new to them. Is it alien to them? Is it kind of, they know enough for it to be foreign to them? Or are they really advocating for whatever it is that they believe? What battle are you having with their psyche and bringing them over? Because they're paying attention to you probably a lot more than they're paying attention to me, certainly at the happy hour. So I'm just wondering, you know, what is it you're thinking you're having to overcome to bring them to our side?
Well, the good thing that I found from doing this kind of outreach and activism over the past few years, I know it sounds bad, but I'm really good at picking out people. I'm really good at stereotyping people. And not stereotyping in a bad way, but if I see a group of people walking towards me, I can pick somebody out of the group, formulate a message, and pitch it to them in hopes that they respond. I almost kind of go off of like the aura they're pushing out, their confidence level, what they're wearing, you know, how they're walking, if they're listening to music or something like that. And I just, I don't know, I must have a knack for it. But I find that most of the time whenever I approach people, I know exactly what to say to get them to at least pay attention.
Heck, I'm like, if Megan's even talking to me, that's what I want said. I mean, don't confuse that. I mean, I'm going, are you kidding me? She's talking to me. You know, whatever you say, you know. But what do you think is your most powerful arrow in your quiver that you're really able to bring them around? I mean, is it the Fed or is it something else? I mean, what is it?
Well, when we, you know, I talk a lot about the independent film side of things, especially in like, you know, the bigger metropolitan areas. They usually have a soft heart towards indie art and things like that. So that's part of the pitch, just to kind of catch their interest and feel sympathetic towards what we're doing. But a lot of the times, much like Jim Sharp said this morning, talking about the Federal Reserve is now, you know, a pretty popular topic and a lot of people know about it. They might not know, you know, the deep depths of how it functions, but they're familiar with the topic. So like in New York, for instance, I was walking around Union Square just passing out flyers one afternoon and, you know, I would see some younger kids. I'd go up, you know, they're all skateboarding and stuff, and I would hand them a flyer and tell them it's an End the Fed film, and they're like, oh yeah, End the Fed, screw the Fed, you know, yelling back at me. So the End the Fed message is definitely becoming more popular and widespread. So
you know, Jim, Jim and the crowd and so on, I mean, he comes over here every now and then to, you know, we hang. But I tell you, Jim is, you know, part of, he's immersed. It's amazing he's as libertarian as he is, immersed in that neocon soup over there. And what happens is he really, a lot of these guys, they didn't see this Fed thing as being an issue. How would they? I mean, they're like, there's no, what? Fed, who, what? Who? That, I heard somebody say sometimes some patriot, Tea Party, and conspiratorial constitutionalist, kind of their private company. Yeah, I know they're kind of not a, you know, government kind of, that's about all they know. Okay. So I'm just going, you know, as this being an issue, do you see the wave? Do you see it? Well, they're starting to see it. And you see it manifest in things like Silver Circle Movie. And people advocating for it, like Pasha and Megan. Well, tonight you're going to get the meter and the sponsors at Liberty Coin Precious Metals and Freedom's Phoenix sponsoring the event tonight in Tempe.
There are those that just want to be left alone, and those that just won't leave them alone. Which one are you? The Ernest Hancock Show.
And we're right back. I was just talking to Megan and all her media appearances, everything she's doing and different things. She's going to be going back this afternoon to do some more stuff, and then we'll see her this evening. We'll be sending out a bonus email dispatch to our database saying, hey, it's tonight, man. You know, case, and we're going to be having a good time. You get to, you know, visit and network with people, and Liberty Precious Metals and Coins are going to be there, and they have an office in San Diego, Del Mar, or whatever, you know, Southern California somewhere. So they have an office there. They got one here in Scottsdale on Scottsdale Road in Shea, which is like, you know, main Uber right there in Scottsdale. Well, what happens is we got to meet with Richard, the owner, and he's just like, look, hey, man, you know, I want to do some advertising, you know, hook me up with the crowd and kind of whatever. And I'm like, all right. So we started working with them a little bit and introducing them to the locals and then getting involved with the Silver Circle Movie. They wanted sponsors and so on. And I'm like, cool. So my first thing was Roberts and Roberts. You talked to Tim Fry. Yep. He's already working with us in Florida doing that. All right, cool, 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 cool. So they wanted to get kind of a local, you know, somebody local here. I go, yeah, well, yeah, I see. Yes, I do. So we talked to Richard and he was like, done. You know, whatever. You know, they want to make sure that they get associated with the movement and so on and want to support, you know, such films and efforts and activists, things like this. So they were an easy sell. So Megan talked to them and they got it all set up. And the one thing is, I'm like, all right, are you going to have silver circles there? You know, the 1 ounce and the 10th ounce silver circles. She's like, yes. I have to carry them in my backpack. I'm not checking them at the airport. And you bring enough for demand and everything. People wanting their own whole roll of the 10th ounces. Those are really popular. She's going, you know, I got a backpack, you know, kind of heavy. Heavy, heavy, heavy. I'm going, oh, tell me about your experiences with TSA. I just pull them all out because they show up really dark on their thing. It's, you know, got to be something. They don't know what it is. So I got to pull them out and explain it to them. And this, a lot of times, first time they ever even seen silver. That, you know, never, you know, kind of heard the word, never seen it. So she goes, that's always interesting. Got to play a little extra time for her to get her silver through. But think about it. You know, is she going to be able to make it out of the country that much? How much can she do? Is there a limit? Are they confiscated? You know, I would pay a TSA agent to confiscate. I'm afraid you have too much. You're not allowed. Would be prudent at this juncture. That'd be a good one, right? You know, maybe someone will do that. She keeps traveling around doing these movies and everything. You know, Silver Megan get targeted. Yeah. Well, she's leaving tomorrow morning to go to Washington. Tomorrow night, you know, Friday, they got a premiere in Washington, D.C. So she's ready for a vacation. You know, fortunately, here in the West, I have to get up early in the morning. It's like 3 hours difference from East Coast anyway. So she came out all right. So what we're going to do is we have for the rest of this hour until we get Mike Salvi coming on in the third hour. I wanted to go over just some of the headlines real quick. And I know I get stuck on a headline and you can do a whole freaking show and everyone. I'm going to try and just whiz through it. You want to know this stuff? Go to freedomsphoenix.com and you will see all the stories on. I'm just picking some of them. I mean, damn. All right. Here's Helmut Kohl. When he was head of, you know, had Merkel's place in Germany. Yes, I acted like a dictator to bring in the euro. And he was like, look, it would have lost if it went to a referendum. If we let the people have any say, we wouldn't have got the euro. And we had to have the euro because we needed the euro. So I made sure got the euro, got to be dictator, be euro. Okay. Here we have the Federal Reserve money printing. Versus, yeah, you know, so in dollar, like there's a difference. Federal Reserve money printing versus Bitcoin price. So what's interesting about this chart is that the rise in the value of Bitcoin is directly in comparison with the rise in the money supply or the printing of dollars or the zeros digitally put in, whatever, by the Fed. You know, it's like you're going, oh, really? Okay. So what do we see here? All right. Well, they kind of mirror each other. At least something is allowed to float freely. Now, you would think gold and silver would, but it's manipulated. It's manipulated. You know what's the thing about Bitcoin? You know, well, at least the government's not manipulating it. Well, I don't know. Maybe they are. We'll find out. Okay. So we go. What's another one here? Oh, Colorado sheriffs. Planning lawsuit to block new gun laws. Now, we had Sheriff Mack in studio, was it last week, week before? And we met at a function we both spoke at in L.A. a few weeks ago. And his whole thing is he just keeps amping up these sheriffs coming to larger and larger meetings that he's putting on around the country. I think his next one is in St. Louis. And all these sheriffs are like, look, man, we understand where this is going. They just kind of want to have some kind of resources and understanding what's going on. And they're willing to come out and say, look, man, we're not going to enforce your crap, which is exactly what Sheriff Mack did as sheriff here in southeastern Arizona and the Brady Bill. I'm just not doing it. Well, now instead of it being one lone guy or a couple of guys, it's hundreds. So, you know, he's had up to 400 coming to various different things. Now, here is 37 of the state's 62 elected sheriffs are preparing to sue to overturn laws. 37 of the state's 62 elected sheriffs. Oh, this is just in one state. Wow, Colorado. Wow, 37 of the state's 62. That's a chunk. Well, when Sheriff Mack told the story, you know, everybody, oh, and even Arpaio and everybody going, yeah, this is bad. We don't want to do. He was the only one that stood up. They go, well, I'll hold my nose in. Well, Sheriff Mack said, no. So we got a whole bunch of, you know, sometimes it takes someone like that blazing the trail. I wanted to show this to you. There was other ones of, some technology on photoshopping and doing video and so on, to where they're getting to the point to where you can't tell the difference between individuals and what's computer generated. You know, you scan it. There was a movie back in the 80s or late 70s called Looker, and it was, you just look it up, and it was Rob Schneider, the guy that played the sheriff in Jaws. He was, you know, I think he was one of the stars in that thing. And what they're doing is they are morphing computer-generated, you know, digitizing of your face, and they can just take actors and they can just put faces on people sitting there, change the face, have the entire person scanned in, get all kinds of different emotions. And then I saw another video where they were using to where you can have light come in from anywhere. It's wherever you push the object, okay, I want the light to come from this corner, I want the light to come from here, I want the light from here, and it would give shadowing and highlights and everything. I mean, you're not going to be able to believe freaking anything anymore. I mean, it's really getting, I mean, I think it's cool, but, you know, a picture's worth a thousand lies? You never know, you know, so you need to keep track of this. All right, so then we have Cynthia McKinney. There was a, I saw this on Daily Poll, and I put it up. She was a congresswoman that in 08, she was kind of, you know, overshadowed by Dr. Paul's efforts, but she's running for the Green nomination, or, you know, she was a Green candidate. Or she was just, you know, let me tell you how bad Washington is. So you watch this speech, and Cynthia McKinney delivers an inspirational message. Now, some of this stuff is on page two. If you look at the navigation bar on Freedom's Phoenix, everything that's on the front page kind of just scrolls down onto page two. And then, of course, it's like 200,000 entries. And then you can go to the archive, and you have the archive, and you'll see newsletter archive, all the email dispatches, so you can get to this stuff. But, and then you have, if you're a subscriber, you can click on the, you know, and it was interesting. You should watch it, her perspective on what's going on in Washington. But here you got the archives on Freedom's Phoenix, and you'll see right here it says newsletter archives. And when you go there, it has all of the past email dispatches that we've done. And you can go in and find stuff that way. Now, subscribers, if you subscribe to Freedom's Phoenix and the e-zine and newsletter and all the goodies that we do, when you log in, there's an additional thing. It says save link, and it goes to your favorites. You have your own favorite page, so you don't lose this stuff, and you can go watch it later. This is why we need a social network or to kind of promote a lot of this stuff, you know, because we got a lot of power. This story is about a Texas professor forced his class to create anti-gun material and then use their efforts to kind of, you know, promote that. Yeah, you know, see, my class did, and they started complaining. Oh, and this one was a good one. How to skin a deer the right way. And it's a video on skinning. I found this fascinating. A little gruesome, but worth it.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
It's the same old story, same old song and dance, my friend. It's the same old story, same old story, same old song and dance.
Yeah, same. I, there's a lot of things I want to go. We'll get into it with Mike Salvi when he comes on, because, you know, a fellow traveler media guy, we can talk about the news that's on Freedom Scenics, and this is stuff that's happened. I mean, damn. You know, this is not the same. You get to be old enough, you keep seeing the same stuff come around. It's like, you know, the grandson of, you know, Kim Jong, whatever it was, and then Kim Jong, you know, his son and dad of and grandson Kim, you know, whatever. So I'm, you know, we're going to talk about that with Mike Salvi when we get back. But right now I want to go to Gabriel. You know, hey, Liberty Coin and Precious Metals are going to be sponsoring Silver Circle Movie tonight, and I wanted to make sure they got, you know, to say, hey, hello, what's up? How you doing, man?
Hey, how's it going, Ernie? Thanks for having me on. Thanks to your wife, too, Donna. Thank you.
Yeah, no, that's good. You know, tell us, you guys are going to be hooked. I know Megan has brought in a bunch of Silver Circles. They are very popular, and she, you know, getting them through TSA is like a chore. But, you know, I'm going, are you guys going to, you know, I was hoping you guys would be able to start having, we can send them over to Liberty Coin Precious Metals and go get them some Silver Circles when they want.
Yeah, I'm all for that. I think Richard and Silver Circle are talking about being able to carry some similar products, and that might be something we can do in the future. We're all for that.
Well, tell us how it's going over there in Scottsdale. I mean, you guys relatively new to the Valley. How you guys been doing?
We're doing well. I think the news and the media gives you kind of a mixed signal about gold and silver, because you see that prices have been. I'm assuming, Ernie, you follow them, but maybe some of your listeners, too, they see that prices are what we call sideways, maybe even a little down. But physical demand, that is the purchasing of gold and silver, the physical bullion, is just really all-time high. So it's never, the markets are really never a true indicator of what's going on. So thankfully, we've got a lot of buyers, and I mean, that's good for us as an organization. We appreciate that, but we're also just happy because of the industry, because I think people are trying to hedge the dollar. They know about the information that's in the movie The Silver Circle about the Federal Reserve not being federal and there being no reserves.
One thing that we did is we were able, and we used Liberty as an example. We worked with you and Richard, and we made sure that we go in and we say, you know what, this Bitcoin thing. I want to be able, if I can buy Bitcoin and then convert it to silver, then I'll see that we've closed the loop. Well, we did that with Liberty. And I'm going, right. Okay, you know, that's cool. But, you know, you guys did it to where you used a service to where it automatically just turned it into cash and went straight to you. And so you're dealing the dollar, you're not holding Bitcoin. It doesn't matter, just like silver, it doesn't matter if it goes to 270 and down to 150 and what. You just, yeah, you want to use Bitcoin, you get silver done. So that worked out well. But I'm going, what do you think about this Bitcoin explosion thing? Does that have any impact on you guys?
You know, it's not having any impact on us, but, you know, I don't want to speak for the organization, but I know that Richard would, I think he would agree with this, that as libertarians, we look at the marketplace, and the marketplace is always going to bring about and discover and create good currencies, good money, however you want to define it right now. But so we think, in my opinion, I think Richard would agree with me on this, that there is a place out there in the free market for Bitcoin, for gold and silver, and possibly any other types of medium of exchanges that could compete. So Bitcoin's fantastic. I believe there's probably going to be a variety of Bitcoins out there at some point, and this is definitely the way to get away from the ever depreciating dollar.
As long as, you know, we can convert it in to go buy me some silver, I'm much more open to it. And that's one thing that we were adamant about, was closing that loop. And I appreciate you guys helping us demonstrate that. But I look at your pricing.
Richard gets all the credit.
I'm sorry?
I was going to say Richard gets all the credit. But yeah, no, thank you for, I think you were also the one that kind of, you know, encouraged us to do so. So thank you.
I know we walked it through, because I wasn't going to be talking. If I couldn't convert it, then, you know, it's no good to me. If I can't make, turn Bitcoin. Yeah. If I can't turn Bitcoins into silver or cash or something, then what the hell am I doing? You know, I'm just doing monopoly money. So we went into, but the real thing is gold and silver and platinum, palladium, whatever. I mean, you know, precious metals. But has the added, just in the last year, tell me about the attitudes of the people that come in and do business with you. Are they starting to get religion or what?
You know, I think so, because we've got a lot of first-time buyers. We've got a lot of people that are saying, hey, this is my, I'm new to this. I'm new to the gold and silver industry. I don't know a lick about it. Can you give me some idea? Now, we got high net worth individuals and couples and groups that come in, and just, you know, regular guys like me that come in. And some guys are buying a little, some guys are buying a lot. It's okay, because they do see the writing on the wall. Like you said, they've got the religion there. They see that the government can't continue to spend the way it's doing. There's no way the government's going to pay off all its debts or unfunded liabilities. There's just all this writing on the wall that...
I'm sorry.
No problem.
Yeah,
sounds like you got a Skype call in.
Yeah, Mike Salvi's trying to call in.
No, don't worry. So, I mean, like you said, we're just seeing a whole variety. And if persons are listening on the phone, we would love to have their business. And we think if you came into the store, if you looked on our website, libertycpm.com, I think you'd get a glimpse at, you know, how we run. There's no surprises. And the majority of people are impressed, and it's still just the beginning, I think.
Well, we have your site, you know, on the video right now scrolling. I mean, you got some good deals. I mean, it's like 59 cents over spot on some silver bars. You know, you're down right to $30-$40 or something on over spot on gold. Heck, I remember a decade ago you're paying $60-$100 something, you know, over spot kind of stuff. I mean, how are you able to do this?
I mean, one thing, it's competition. There's a lot of bullion dealerships out there, gold and silver dealerships out there, and competition brings everyone down to be competitive, right? So we have to keep our premiums low. The other thing is, you know, it's volume too, and we're a dealership, and I don't think you're going to find this out there with other ones, so I want to say this about Liberty. We post our prices live online, so you can see what we're buying our products at. That is, if you had gold or silver you want to sell to us, or what we're selling, that is, if you came in and you wanted to purchase some. And I think that really impresses customers, because a lot of people in the gold and silver industry, you might know about this, little Ernie. Yeah, they hide it, and it's just not fair, we think, to the customer. We want it to be as transparent as a Best Buy.
Well, when you walk into the lobby, you see these. You have all your price right out there on the monitors. I mean, this is what it is. Now, I go to this one and see a Royal Canadian Mint Gold Maple Leaf, $36 over spot on gold.
Yeah.
That's unheard of. That's amazing. And I'm just so, and no minimums. I mean, you know, you can buy one, you do it. So you're creating a client, and being on Scottsdale Road in Shea, I mean, you're right in the middle of the boys. You know what I mean? So
that's right.
I'm sure they're coming by and visiting and say hello. So I imagine you guys are doing okay. I mean, you didn't, you know, go in for a big giant, you know, overhead. I mean, it's a nice place, but it's like you got your big bulletproof kind of plexiglass nunshell pass area. You got your lobby. Yep. You go up there, and we're doing trade. I mean, it's like you know, a Greek agora. I mean, I'm coming in. I'm doing some business. So, and when you do the Bitcoin, having that available, I mean, I'm sure that'll start to amp up as time goes on. And when it goes way up and way down, you can still process it, because it just converts right into cash. We showed how that works for guys like you to be able to. It's like a cash transaction that's seen by the government, and it's anonymous for those that actually use the Bitcoin. So this was important to me, to be able. It wasn't that Bitcoin's good, bad, whatever. I go, yeah, blah blah blah, doesn't mean anything to me. Can I get silver for it? If I can't get silver, it don't mean nothing. Well, we were able to do that. So now we have, you kind of got introduced to the Liberty community here, and helping with Silver Circle Movie doesn't hurt. So I'm just kind of, you feel you guys are part of the community now? You guys got a good root here?
I think so. You know, recently we've been caught up in some other building things that we're trying to build a store in California, but Richard and I and a lot of the guys here definitely want to be more involved in the libertarian community, definitely more involved in the freedom movement, however you call it. So when I say libertarian, I guess I mean small L, so no offense to all of you anarcho-capitalists out there. I consider myself an anarcho-capitalist.
Thank
you. That's what I booked up. But yeah, no, we want to be a part of the community, so thank you, Ernie. Thank you, Don.
We're looking forward to doing all kinds of. When something comes up, we'll let you know. I called Richard and I go, Silver Circle Movie, and he goes, and
hey, we're going to be at the Prepper Fest too.
We'll see you out there too. Yeah, we've been working with them. You know, this is, we got a new direction that we're going. The love illusion is going to have to survive the revolution by loving our neighbors. And I'm like, we got to teach them about precious metal. Teach them about farming. Teach them about not dying. Because, you know, it's very selfish on my part, because if I don't, they're going to be knocking on my door, or not knocking, and come take my goodies anyway. You know, so, you know, it's not altruism. It's self-preservation. Trust me. Hey, Gabriel, thank you very much for coming on. We'll be right back with Mike Salvi in the next hour. Hold on a second.
Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Today, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Welcome back to Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, here in Phoenix, Arizona. Hey, hello, is he on the phone or? Yeah, he just called on Mike Salvi. We're going to get him on dealing with this, everything. You know, Donna, yeah, I'm going to have you do it because I mean, too many buttons. So we'll go ahead and do it. Mike, I got you there on the phone. Hello.
Yes, you do.
Okay. All right. We'll do that. We'll worry about the Skype thing during the next break because damn. You know, pay attention, man.
No worries.
All right.
No worries.
So let's go ahead and talk about, you know, we know each other. We met in Philadelphia back in the day, I would imagine, right?
We did. How are you? How have you been?
I'm doing well. It's good to see you're, you know, kicking butt. You know, matter of fact, what happened, I was on a computer doing some, you know, maintenance and work on Freedom's Phoenix, and we have Next News Network just playing up there, and boom, there you are. I go, hello. And then one time you were interviewing with Gary Franch. You guys are just, you know, chatting it up, and I, you know, turn on the sound, listen to you guys, and I'm glad to see you guys added on, man. We're all having a good time over here. So tell me, how's the activism going on there in Philly? I stay up to date with James Babb quite a bit, but let's go ahead and get your story, man. What's up?
Well, a lot's going on. Now that the weather's better, you know, more people are coming out. A lot's gotten done over the wintertime, but a lot more people are coming out now. And, you know, the group has branched off in so many different directions. You know, people are getting together on their own. They're setting up their own events. They're setting up their own, outreach, whatever. And it's just really cool to see all that kind of come together with everybody's, you know, genuine enthusiasm. So it's been good, man. The show's been great. I love being a part of Next News Network now. I think it's awesome. I mean, Gary got in touch with me and said, listen, we want to feature your show. So now I'm live every Monday at 10 Eastern, but they rebroadcast it every night at 11 p.m. Central. So figure out what your time, or no, 10 p.m. Central, 11 my time. So figure out what your time zone is. But yeah, it's really cool to be a part of it.
Well, tell me what your advocacy is. I mean, you're on the air with your friends and chilling out and giving it what for? Why? I mean, what's your message?
Because, well, the message is pretty simple, and that's that you own yourself. And nothing gets in the way of that. Nothing should get in the way of that. And anything that tries to get in the way of that, you should address it in whatever shape, whatever manner you have to. The show has just been featuring all these other people that are doing all these amazing things. So, you know, I call it Mike Salvi's World, but it's really about them when they come on and we just, you know, shoot the breeze about what they're doing. I had Neil Franklin from LEAP, Executive Director of Law Enforcement Against Prohibition, on the show. That was cool. That was pretty laid back. You know, having Gary, Tom Woods, Rob Pepe, you know, Jim Babb, all these great people, Fernando Salguero, all these great people that have something to say and something to share. So these are the personal conversations I have with these guys, and what we talk about is self-ownership, how to take ownership of your life again, and how to hold, you know, how to resist and how to do all these great things. I want other people to hear these conversations. I think, you know, a lot comes out of it. So, and people are still listening, so it seems to be working. That was the gist of doing the show. And that's the message.
Well, you know, the one thing I see in a lot of your artwork and so on is Larkin Rose's Iron Web. You know, that logo, is that, was that intentional?
Oh, no, that was purely coincidence. No, that was definitely intentional. I asked Larkin, I said, do you mind if we use your logo for anything? And he said, you know, knock yourself out. So for the group Truth, Freedom, Prosperity is the Iron Web logo behind it, and it's all shiny and colorful and bright, and then I use it for my own logo on my show.
Explain that. You know, explain what that means and why you chose that in your relationship to the philosophy of Larkin, because he's one of my favorite. You know, this is how I describe Larkin Rose. If I wanted anybody to represent my advocacy for not being represented by anybody,
yeah,
it would be Larkin. You know, I'm like, definitely. Yeah, what he said. You know, so we have he supplies content quite a bit for a magazine. Yep. And our new direction that we're going in, Freedom City. I want to talk to you about that too. But he is really, I see the future as not being a problem in technology where we can power ourselves or feed ourselves or drink clean water and all that. Technology, I'm not worried about that. It's how we socialize. It's our structure. It's all this, who gets to wear shiny badges? Do we even have shiny badges? Is somebody going to rule us? And Larkin, whenever he goes up against the boys, you know, he's like a Jedi ninja, kick their butt. And I'm just like, right on, man. One less thing I got to do. So tell me how close you are and how you've embraced what he's talking about. You know, are you the same thing to the point that you're using his logo? Are you, you know, are you an evangelist for Larkin Rose's, you know, narco whatever? You know, explain it to me.
Yeah, yes, I'm an evangelist for it. Now, I agree with you. There's a very select few amount of people that I can trust with saying what I had to say on a bigger, you know, on a broader scale, and getting my message across in the same way. And Larkin is definitely one of them. Well, Larkin wrote a book called The Iron Web. So it's not necessarily, you know, being a disciple of Larkin or anything like that, but the concept of The Iron Web. And if you look at the logo, you go to LarkinRose.com, you can see it, you can buy the book. It's a great book. The logo, the way that it's set up is there's 9 dots, and each one of those dots is connected. I don't know how many crisscross lines or whatever, but the point is, the way that it's structured is it shows that you don't need one central authority to be able to connect with each other. And there's always a connection if you, you know, look for it. So, whereas, you know, with these 9 dots, if one of them disappears, then it can be replaced because there's already that channel for that. So The Iron Web was a great novel. You know, it's a fiction, it's a work of fiction, but all the conversations between all the characters I've had in my personal life, in so many different ways, whether it's a statist view, whether it's a total anarchist view, and every conversation between, and they're always good, comfortable conversations. They talk about the drug war. They talk about firearm safety. You know, there's actually a scene where there's one of the characters is training another girl on how to use a firearm, but it's like, it reads like an instruction manual. So it's a really good book for people to read.
You know,
I fell in love with the concept. I fell in love with the concept. I mean, I got it tattooed on my arm, and, you know, I love what it represents.
Wow, really? That far? Right on. You know, this is the one thing that Larkin and I have, you know, we've had long conversations over the years, and I remember back when, before he even went to jail, you know, on his just, look, I'm not your slave, and I'm not paying your taxes, and okay, then you're going to jail, okay. I mean, you know, that, but he had already kind of fully formed this in his head before then, and then he had time to write it down when he was in jail. I'm like, pox on the man, you know what I mean?
Yeah, he got to do that with, you know, with Kicking Dragon, with, you know, with a lot of his other books. You know, his latest book, The Most Dangerous Superstition, was, I think, 17, 18 years in the making. So, you know, all these things kind of came out of it, which I don't want to see anybody thrown in a cage, but there's always a silver lining, and that was what happened. That concept of self-ownership that he stands so, you know, like a pillar on, I'm all about. So, yeah, I like his work. I like the way he words what I have to say to it.
You know, and I'm glad you're out there representing, you know, younger generation activists in Philadelphia. I know you guys are very busy out there. When we come back after we get to the break here in just a little bit, I want to hear a whole bunch about what's going on in Philadelphia, because I know you guys are creative. I mean, if I had to, you know, let me see, where's places that's kind of like Freedom's Phoenix? You got some revolutionary activists going up and doinking the man, you know, a little bit and having some fun educating. First thing that comes to mind, Philadelphia. Sometimes we want to be like the city of brotherly love, the brotherly revolution, Philadelphia. Mike Salvi's World. We'll be right back with Mike Salvi in just a little bit here on Declare Your Independence. We'll be right back.
Arizona has been one of the hottest real estate markets in the past, up until the last couple of years. Homes that were once going for $500,000 to $1 million in prestigious areas are now going for less than half of what the original purchase price was. That makes it a very good time to buy. So if you were ever thinking of retiring to Arizona's inviting climate and laid-back and friendly lifestyle, now is the time. That's where I can help. This is Donna Hancock with Brangus Realty, and I have provided a way for you to search for properties that are of interest to you, all at your own convenience and without having to give out any personal information. Visit my webpage at DonnaHancock.com to start your search today. And when you're ready to make a move to Arizona's warm and sunny climate, please feel free to call or text me at 602-828-1819. Many are working hard to make sure Arizona is not only a beautiful place to live, but a free and peaceful one as well. So what are you waiting for? Make your move today by calling 602-828-1819. And don't forget to visit my webpage at DonnaHancock.com.
To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800. 602-264-2800. And now, Ernest Hancock.
That's the sound of the police. That's the sound of the beast. That's the sound of the police. That's the sound of the beast.
I don't know, is that the sound you need? Well, I'll tell you what's happening. That's the sound they might be hearing, 420. 420 in New York City. They're going to have concert events and things and doing, and Mike Salvi is going to tell us all about it. And that's going to be Larkin Rose, as a matter of fact, going to be speaking there, and Stefan Molyneux, and Mike Salvi is going to be moderating, doing his thing there. And all of a sudden, some you might smell the wafting of some freedom there a little bit. Then at Independence Hall, later that same day, there's going to be doing some goodie. Well, we're doing the same thing here, you know, in Phoenix, Arizona. We're going to have all kinds. They want us to go down and participate and say, give the what for, and freedom's the answer, what's the freaking question. So, you know, this is the kind of stuff that, you know, I'm wondering, you know, what's the impact of this, or what kind of crowd are you going to have in New York City? Tell us about the event and how it's sponsored and where it's going to be and what's going to happen, and you might be hearing some whoop whoop, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's well, I don't know about hearing whoop whoop. The venue is in Soho in Manhattan, and it's a place called Work in Progress. And so we hosted a Liberty Fest 3 there back in the fall, and I mean, that went really well. Anarchy NYC is going to be at the same spot, and the speakers are, it's a nice long list of speakers. It's an all-day event. It's at a bar. The venue's incredible. The sponsors are Free State Project, the Caleb Leverett Show, the Manhattan Libertarian Party, and the Silver Circle Movie. Speakers are Bob Murphy, Mike Shankin, Anthony Antonello, John Bush, Danny Panzella, Larkin Rose, Derek Rose, a whole bunch of people, Adam Kokesh, Stefan Molyneux, and then there's bands performing, Reb Link, Heist Click, Dave Cahill. It's going to be an amazing day. So it's all day. I think it's from 1 o'clock until 10. The event's sold out, but if you keep checking the page on Facebook, if you look up Anarchy in the NYC, every once in a while, people are selling their tickets because now they can't make it. But there's going to be over 500 people there.
Wow.
It's incredible.
A party.
And then you mentioned the other thing. It is good. It's going to be a huge party, and it's just going to be a big celebration of you know, freedom and whatever you like. It's going to be a lot of good conversations. Different speakers coming from different angles, so it's not all just one-sided. You know, I know that the Libertarian Party is sponsoring it, but it's, you know, it's not like a libertarian event. So, I mean, it's going to be great. You also mentioned down in Philly the same day on 420 will be the fourth time that Philly Normal and the Panic Hour has put together what's called Smoke Down Prohibition. And in an act of civil disobedience, hundreds of people gather at Independence Hall right out front next to the Liberty Bell on a First Amendment zone, and they all light up, you know, they use cannabis openly, not one arrest, and it's just been super smooth. So now this time, with the weather being beautiful in Philly, it's on 420. It's picked up some momentum. High Times has picked up the story. Vice.com picked up the story, too. So I'm a little upset that I'm going to be in New York City that day, even though it's going to be fun. This event down here in Philly is going to be huge.
Well, you know, is it being tolerated by law enforcement because of why? I mean, you know, that sooner or later somebody's going to, it's like they promise we aren't going to mess with you, and all of a sudden they start shutting down California clinics. I mean, you know, they're not messing with you until they mess with you. I mean, I'm just wondering what's the trigger.
From their angle, here's what goes on in Philly is there's a thing called SAM, small amounts of marijuana, where if you're caught with under an ounce of marijuana on you, you're not arrested. It's almost treated like a traffic ticket in a sense, where you have to pay a $200 fine and you go to a 3-hour drug course, which it unclogs. It only helps the city. It doesn't help anybody. I mean, it's still there. It's still a pain in the butt. You know, my attitude is just let me do what I'm doing. No one's getting hurt. Well, so there's that angle. And then in addition, now on where the property is, it's actually federal property because it's the Independence Mall. The maximum ticket that they can give you is a $175 ticket. That's it. So from that standpoint, it's not much of a risk. But the other, the other standpoint is with hundreds of people with live feed cameras, the police don't want a scene where they're locking up hundreds of people just for smoking joints. So they've been standoffish. Now maybe they're waiting for something else. Who knows? We all know their history, but.
They're waiting for maximum benefit money. Do what if they think that they got it down to where they can just corral everybody and everybody gets a retina Afghanistan scan kind of, we got you and these are all the dope smokers and we have them and here's your ticket and be gone. You know, the only way you can counter that kind of thing, that revenue enhancement checkpoint DUI, whatever the heck revenue thing, is that you got to challenge it. You just go, nope, not guilty. Let's clog up the system. We're going to make sure we cost them some money. Now, are the people that go into that, are they prepared for what might happen? They're going to get a record.
They're learning, though, because there's also speakers, too. So it's not just like everybody shows up, smokes, and leaves. There's speakers. Jim Babb was the speaker last time, and he talked to everybody about jury nullification for a good 5-10 minutes.
Ah.
So there's lessons being learned. NJ Weedman, Ed Fortune, he was there. You know, he told his story. There was a veteran who came back from overseas, and he uses it for PTSD. So there's a lot. And with Normal being there too, whether you agree with how they do things or not, they still are there getting people to support legislation in the state and overturn certain things in the federal government. So it is being attacked from every angle.
Well, we have now the reports. I mean, not that I care. Survey says, a majority of Americans want to decriminalize marijuana. And, I'm like, and then you got it's just like all these right-winger Republicans coming out and saying how they want to, marry, gay or something, And they're just putting their finger in the wind. Well, it seems like the drug war is way overwhelmingly. The people are like, can we just stop? And something's holding back. What is it?
Good question.
There's something else going on. It's a money thing, a control thing. We
it's
like
a lot
war
of
thing. I mean, something. But I tell you,
I was just going to say the drug war is a tough thing because there's so many hands in it. I equate it to when you were a kid and you were in gym class, and they had that one day where they let you all jump under a parachute and everybody's holding it down. So that's kind of the same thing where, the alcohol industry, lobbies against marijuana, the prison industry, lobbies against it. So there's all these different hands that are on there. So even if you, successfully take one of them away, there's still a whole long list of interests that, want to see it illegal.
The one thing that I get your comment on this thought, my whole thing is, they call it civil disobedience. It's just, I don't care. I'm going to do it, and you're going to flaunt it. And I'm just like, I don't even know if you got to even flaunt it. I just, if you ignore government enough, it goes away. But you got to really understand how to ignore it. I mean, you got to stop using their money. You got to stop participating in their schemes. You got to stop being on their grid. You got to stop. I mean, I remember Cody Wilson, 3D, defense distributed DefCAD guy, 3D printing gun guy. He made a good comment one time. I've had him on the show several times. And he goes, using Federal Reserve notes, participating in the system, and a lot of different things he was talking about, he goes, that has become a political decision. You, by participating, even complaining, even going down and lobbying, legislating, voting, all that stuff is just justifying their existence. We got to separate our mind from even, and we'll talk about that when we come back, because I know Mike gets it. You know, Mike is definitely on this road. And I'm wondering, you know, how many people are with him. You know, the young activist there in Philly, I know he and James Babb and friends have had a big impact. I'm wanting to see where this is going. The city of brotherly love.
You can put the Liberty Radio Network on the air in your area. Visit broadcast.lrn.fm to learn how. Broadcast.lrn.fm.
Rhodes? It's the Ernest Hancock Show. Where we're going, there aren't any roads.
There's a man going around taking names, and he decides who to free and who to blame. Everybody won't be treated all the same. There'll be a golden ladder reaching down when the man comes around.
Oh, and the man's coming around. But, you know, it's going to change to the point to where he's like, hey, man, can I have a hit off that blunt? I mean, you know, this is where it's going. We went through this in the 90s. There were a lot of things, especially gun, you know, rights things and so on. You'll get back and forth with law enforcement, and we deal with a lot of these guys. And finally, they're just like, hey, man, we're on your side and peace out. But what's happened, though, is that when you're dealing with bureaucracies and laws and legislation and regulation and licensing and all this other stuff, it's not even really the law enforcement guys a lot of times you're dealing with. They're just being told what to do by somebody with a shiny badge. It's got a law ordinance that says they can't. And I'm going, and dealing with law enforcement in Philadelphia and a lot of the activism that you do, Mike, you and James and the guys, you know, I'm wondering, are you convincing the line officers? I mean, the people that you're dealing with on a regular basis, are they starting to get to know you? Are they on your side? Or they're like, oh, you're just pissing them off. What's happening?
Well, when we had a presence at Occupy Philly, we had a tent and a warming station. We were there 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, for 7 weeks straight. And that's when the group really came together. But anyway, when we were there, a lot of the police that were around there walked to the different tents and they talked to different people. And a lot of them were telling us that, you know, they're like, you guys get it. You know what's going on. And, you know, we appreciate what you're saying. The other thing is, we've done a lot of End the Fed rallies here in Philly. And the civil affairs police that usually end up just showing up, because we'll call and get permits. You know, sometimes there are, but we, you know, anymore, it's just like, all right, everybody meet here, and this is where we're going. So we should have to do it that way. Civil affairs cops still show up anyway, and it's the same ones. We've done 11 or 12 of them in the past few years, and it's the same civil affairs cops that show up, and they kind of lean over and they whisper to us. They're like, you're not recording. I'm like, no, why? What's up? They're like, we're with you. Fed. Guys are robbing us. It's really funny to hear.
You know, our...
So I don't know what other impact we have, but it's interesting when you think about, you know, the ripple effect of what you do, you know, turns into.
Yeah, I'm wondering what the... how far they're willing to... I'll give you an example. There are contacts and people I have, they call them Confrontation Prevention Squad or the Community Service, blah, 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 whatever. Guys I've been dealing with for 20 years. And, you know, they're cool. We're like, look, nobody's got to die. You know, tell your guys that, you know, chill and this is what and so on and we're doing and get over it. Well, I've been told to instruct you that you need to get a permit. Okay, did you tell them that you already know what my answer is, right? You know, yeah, I know, but I told them okay, so we're all good. So the thing is that they always, he's in a position like second in command of this thing. He's head of their little squad thing. But they always have a political boss. There's always someone that's, you know, handing it down from the town manager or the city manager that gets their budget and money a little extra from the Fusion Center, the Department of Homeland, whatever the heck. And these are the guys that are paying the overtime of the officers to go crack some heads. And I'm going, this is, you know, this is a neon flashing example of the federalizing of local law enforcement. I mean, you guys understand what you're saying we're all being conspiratorial 10 years ago. This is exactly what we were talking about. Do you see it now? Do we look at you and go, duh, 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 do you understand? Yeah, But some of the guys, the best guys, they kind of leave. They retire. They move on. They don't want to. They start walking the beat, and they don't want to be in charge of politics. Kind of just leave me alone. I'll go run out my retirement and retire over here. But I'm seeing a transition of the more hardcore fusion center, you know, heel clicking Zieg Heiling guys that are put in positions that have influence over these guys that are being nice to you. What's your experience with that?
Well, interestingly enough, we have a fusion center that just opened right here in South Philly. And it's, I think it's off of 20th and Oregon. But if you look up Delaware Valley Intelligence Center, DVIC, it's right here in our backyard. So we haven't, like, it's like the new Southern Poverty Law Center. There's one here now, and it's an intelligence center, and it's in right here in our backyard. And it just opened up last month or the month before. But this is what they do. They're sharing information in between the FBI, local law enforcement, DHS, CIA, you name it, you know, the whole thing, alphabet soup.
And once you get in, you don't get off. I mean, they'll make up whatever on the card. So you got to be very
We're working on addressing it, and it's not like we're, you know, being secretive about how we're going to do this, but we're still kind of ironing out some of the details. I mean, it's one thing to go up to a group of, or it's one thing to, like, catch these people as they're leaving the building, going to their car, and trying to interview them, and I respect people that do that. But there's also another thing that's, like, listen, this is a really big deal that everybody should get behind. So let's structure this in such a way that it's addressed in a very, like, in a well-fashioned manner, in a professional manner, but in a very serious manner. And we're that's in the works right now. But
yeah,
that's
love them.
Here in Philly.
You got to love your enemy. You got to love them. I mean, actively, it's a verb. You got to love them. If you don't, I mean, what's your alternative? Right. Shoot them. I mean, I'd assume not.
And that does nothing. That does nothing. What do? You're picking off ants off of a hill. I mean, that does nothing. So for anybody that advocates that, I mean, I get the emotional sentiment behind it, but that's ridiculous.
Yeah, they're missing.
Not the way to do this.
Yeah, they're missing. I tell you, John Bush and Catherine Bleich came through Arizona, and they were doing their defuse project. And if you go look it up, they did, like, God, man, a 40-minute interview with the representative. We hooked them up with the Fusion Center here. And they went down there like, yeah, it's Ernie, man. They're not going to leave us alone until, oh, damn it. You know, it's got, because we're a bulldog, man. Once we get some butt, man, we ain't letting go. And so they got really good interview here. We have a lot of people. In fact, I know some of the guys at the FBI and so on. So when I'm doing my lab thing, you know, I'm making my nanotube nickel iron battery kind of lab, and I got to get some, you know, glassware. Oh, you must be a meth dealer. Oh, I'm getting some chemicals. You must be a domestic terrorist. I got to, you know, show. And I'm going, look, you know, this is what I'm doing. What? Don't come kill my dog. Please don't come kill my dog. Okay, I don't need my dog killed. All right. So they're like, oh, and this is what the FBI said. They go, Ernie, if you're not doing anything illegal, you don't have to worry. We would call you first. And I go, right. I got page after page on Freedom's Phoenix that they didn't call first, okay? So I'm just like, you know, nice try. We must be being recorded because that's BS. But what do you do? This antagonism that it's almost like it's being supported and amped up that I'm seeing guys like you and Larkin and the Lovolution, I see the power of us, you know, just eroding at the foundations of what they're trying to do by understanding, you know, that they need to understand. And these opportunities that you go and you're talking to officers and bureaucracies, I'm wondering, you know, do you ever talk to any politicians or the clerks or the bureaucracy? Are you able to witness to them, or is it always line officers?
We don't do that as much. I mean, we did a little bit. Actually, we did it a lot with the end of Fed bill a couple of years ago. And I don't know. I mean, should they be addressed? Yeah, they're there. They're making decisions whether you like it or not. And you know, I don't know. But I mean, it's just I hate to sound so like cynical, but it takes a long time of experience and reading and listen to other people's stories and witnessing things for your own eyes to have zero faith in any of it working. So where the efforts are usually put are towards outreach and educational outreach. You know, I had an officer come up to me when I was leaving. Long story short, we ended up on the Pennsylvania Department of Homeland Security's watch list, as in the Fed organizers in Philly. And that was ridiculous. So we ended up having a press conference inside the Capitol building in Harrisburg. And I got up and I had on, you know, we had on shirts and said, not a terrorist. And, you know, I'm giving up. I'm giving my, you know, little rebuttal in front of the news cameras in the audience. And as I'm leaving, police officer, you know, stopped me on the way out. And he said, "You're from Philly, right?" And I said, "Yeah." He goes, "By the way, I really like what you had to say up there." I was like, "Oh, thanks." And he said, "No, really. You talking about the Federal Reserve is a really big deal." He was like, "These guys are robbing us blind." And he thanked me on the way out.
And who was he?
But it's... He was a police officer. He was an officer guard there. And he thanked me on the way out. And I'll finish the rest of the story on the other side of the break.
All right. When we come back, it's more with Mike Salvi's World in just a little bit here on Declare Your Independence. Yeah, I can see. You know, Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love. Can we love our enemies to be our friends?
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
The world on my shoulder. As I'm getting older, your people gets colder. Most of us only care about money making. Selfishness got us following the wrong direction. Wrong information always shown by the media. Negative images is the main criteria. Infecting the young minds faster than bacteria. Kids wanna act like what they see in the cinema. Whatever happened to the values of humanity? Whatever happened to the fairness and equality? Instead of spreading love, we're spreading animosity. Lack of understanding leading us away from unity. That's the reason why sometimes I'm feeling under. That's the reason why sometimes I'm feeling down. It's no wonder why sometimes I'm feeling under. Gotta keep my faith alive till love is found. Now ask yourself,
where is the love?
Oh, it's right here. Right here on Declare Your Independence with me and Mike Salvi. But you don't need us to do it. You can do it all by yourself. It goes like this. I declare my independence. See how easy it was? No government form. You know, I'm really encouraged about, you know, the future. And a lot of, I mean, in the ocean of bad, there's so much good. And the good is coming in disproportionate amounts from the young. And that's one other thing. You know, I want to finish the story you're talking about, you know, as you're leaving the Capitol there and you're slipping out the door and, you know, and you had an officer wanting to talk to you. But, you know, it's also a generational thing I wanted to talk to you about. Go ahead and finish your story, what the officer had to say.
So as I was leaving the press conference where we gave to rebuttal our being on the Department of Homeland Security list for throwing in the Fed rallies, officer stopped me on the way out and was making small talk and then said, "Listen, I really appreciate what you do and what you said up there." He said, "That's ridiculous." He said, "You're right. The Fed is robbing us blind. And for them to, you know, classify you as a threat just because you're talking about it in a peaceful way is ridiculous." And I said, "You know what's interesting?" I said, "Guys like me, here's what we're afraid of. That guys like you are going to get orders from up top and come after." And then he interrupted me and he said, "Not going to happen." And I said, "Really?" I was pretty shocked. And he said, "We know what they're up to." He said, "You guys aren't the only one that have figured this out." He was like, "You know, but it's growing. It's bigger. People realize." And that sort of stuff gives me hope, too, because it really is going to come down to the individual level. Now, sure, there's going to be, yes, there's a huge ocean of bad, like you said, but there's so much good. There's so much positivity coming out of all of this work that everybody's put in for so long.
You know, let me share this one story. You know, I don't share a lot. I probably shouldn't be saying a lot of that, but let me tell you, there's someone that I know.
Listen,
well.
You're talking, Ernie, you're talking to Mike Salvi. I bring the best out of people. So let it out.
Yeah, well,
I'm honored that you're telling a story that you don't do.
All right. No names to protect me. Okay. There is a gentleman that is one of the head guys at the Fusion Center that is a Phoenix police officer. And when I'm talking, you know, there's one of the guys that I'll call and, "Hey, yo, what's up?" and spread the word that, you know, kind of thing. And so they maintain the line of communications, and we know each other socially and stuff, too, have common friends and everything. And I say, "You know, I'm just wondering, at what point are you going to exercise your knowledge that you know that they're... I mean, you know, are you going to make sure that the sliding door doesn't latch as they ship me off to the gas chambers? I mean, at what point are you going to step up and say, 'Oh, nope, this is why I'm here. You know, you got to be on the inside to stop the really bad stuff.'" I go, "When is that? You know, when is the bad stuff?
Right.
You know, when is..." And
it's already bad.
And yeah, I bring that up because when I run for office, you know, I've a gazillion times, I don't vote, but I run and, you know, make fun of it. And I'm running for Congress. And the reason I went up against this one guy is it's a long story. Bottom line is this. His name's John Shattuck. He's always about, oh, you got to say this to get in so we can fix it and get in. You got to be able to be in so you can, you know, stop bad stuff when it comes and everything. All of a sudden, here comes the TARP. It gets voted down. We know it's coming immediately back. But they have to have somebody that voted against it to bring it back, the way the House rules work. So here comes John Shattuck, congressman here, run against him three times. And I know he used to be, you know, my buddy. Yeah, I'm your buddy on all these issues and get me elected and buddy. And then all of a sudden, then they go communist. Well, or fascist. Well, what happened? Like, there's a difference. So what happens is, all of a sudden, he brings back the TARP and passes it. He's responsible for bringing back the national socialization of the entire economy. And I'm going, you're going to be in there to stop what? I mean, I'm thinking like socialization of the entire economy. That would have been on my list. Okay. At what point do you, you know, I'm going to be, I mean, what are you waiting for? What is your, and then of course he's out. We hammered him so much and branded him with a swastika so much he couldn't run again. And I'm going, you know, so, you know, life sucks to be you. So I'm wondering, these officers and these legislators, you know, they get religion. I got religion. You know, where are they in Patriot Act? Where are they in war funding? Where are they in, you know, the Federal Reserve? Where are they? I mean, you know, at what point, when are they going to start showing their support for freedom? When does that happen?
It hasn't happened yet, because this is the thing that, those are the things that both sides agree on. And when we're distracted with all these other nonsensical things, you look at these, you know, the military budget spending bills and what gets tacked onto what bill, and, you know, secret control gets slipped into another bill that's, you know, 3 feet high of stack of papers. It's ridiculous. So, I don't know. It's already so bad.
Well, you can see why I'm emphasizing this cultural thing. You know, a lot of people, they're going, oh, we're going to go to another country. There's nowhere to go. This is not, they'll find you. God forbid you be successful somewhere. There's some shiny badge going to take your goodies, you know, just with an accent. What's the difference? You know, and then you got, you know, I have grandchildren. I mean, I got a vested in kind of future thing going on here. So I have four kids, four grandkids. I'm, you know, we're stuck, man. What is the most effective, best way to do it? Is it a bigger gun? Is it more ammunition? No, it is a culture. We got to change the culture. And that's the one last question I wanted to, you know, get out of you, you know, an answer is, where's the generations fit in this? Are you primarily seeing more hope from younger? Is it older people in positions of power that are having an impact? Is it the grandkids bringing their grandparents to turn all Ron Paul? I mean, you know, what is it that you think your efforts are best focused?
Young people. It really is. Maybe that's not necessarily where, you know, what we attract is our generation and younger, and, you know, older people come around too, but I mean, that's literally that they're the future. So why not focus there? But it's so amazing to see how sharp, how just incredibly like innovative these people are at the age of 20, 22, 23. Michael Heitz is 23 years old, and he's launching, through our group, Truth, Freedom, Prosperity, he's launching the TFP network, where we're going to feature a whole bunch of things. So it's amazing to see, and I wasn't thinking of this stuff at 23, at 19, and seeing all these young people, you know, doing all these things. Like John Caesar, you know, can't even buy a beer, and he's like a producer on the Next News Network, and he's brilliant. There's all these people that are giving me lots of hope. Children, I talk to my little girl all the time about certain things, and she gets things on such a simple level. So that's the exciting part. That's where the hope comes from.
You know, one thing that really...
And they're way ahead of us.
Oh, yeah. Because they understand, you know, and I tell you what's so dangerous to the establishment and their families and everything is because freedom is very popular with the young. I mean, you don't have to... It's a soft sell, man. It's easy. So I'm just going...
Every young person is anti-war. You know, they either don't want to, most young people, I shouldn't say every, but, you know, a lot of people either have somebody that's close to them over there and they just know the story, they don't want to go. So you couple that with the fact that their future isn't going to be there. There's no such thing as Social Security, inflation, debt, you know, the debt that they've already incurred just by being born. So they get it.
Have you had a viewing, or are you on the schedule for Silver Circle? Has that happened with you guys yet?
I got a copy of it. There's a chance that it'll be debuted at the Philadelphia Independent Film Festival, which I've hosted a few movies out of there for the past 3 years. So I get to be featured in it. I get to host it. We get to take Q&A questions. Working on getting Silver Circle into the Philadelphia Independent Film Festival.
Excellent. Well, we got it. It's going on tonight here in Phoenix, April 11th at the Pollock Tempe Theater. Just go silvercirclemovie.com, give you all the information there. You just show up and, you know, and say, boom, I'm here networking with some friends, got some people that, you know, think like we do, and we'll come up with some project. You know, there's always something we got going on. There's all kinds of people with different things to do. We have a lot of events going on here. I know Mike Salvi and friends are doing a lot of things. You see, it's across the country, and it's people like Mike that are emphasizing all of the important things. And I'm telling you, when things get really, really, really bad, people are going to have to choose sides. I choose the nonviolent side. You know, I'm willing to take a rubber hose hit. You know, I'm not willing to be exterminated, but, you know, I'm willing to, you know, kind of, you know, we'll take the first one. You know, boom, slap me upside, you know, turn the other cheek maybe one time. We'll see what happens. You know, we're going to use the power of love, because I already know it's the most powerful weapon we have. Mike Salvi, Mike Salvi's World. Check it out on Next News Network. We'll see you tomorrow.